Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show, TLR. It is Friday, the 25th of June. Another month is passing us by, and we got a lot of good stuff to get into. Suns lost last night. Not really surprised. Figured the Clippers will come out and give them a good punch, so we will definitely discuss that. We have a game two tonight in Milwaukee. Definitely going to preview that game. And what are the rules of a no-hitter? We have seven-inning games. We have multiple pitchers. We're going to talk about that. What are the rules of a no-hitter? And then we are very fortunate to have scheduled to come on today former NBA player, longtime NBA vet, many years under his belt, Stephen Hunter. Steve Hunter will be here with us at about a quarter after the hour. So definitely looking forward to that. And sitting in with me today will be the one and only Ed Cole. So, you know, I mean, what hasn't Ed done when you stop and think about it? Digital media director for the Washington football team, Inside Sports. He's all over the place. So he'll be joining me here shortly on the Cave Show with PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Channel Heights. Get down to 11 PLR sent you. 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a member. Get your access to the member lounge. Lock it and backs up to a humidor. Never worry about sticks going bad. Also, there's everything you need back there. Tons of TV, couches. Make you feel that you're at home. They do serve beer and wine. Now, if you don't want to become a member, you just want to enjoy Maduro's, that's fine too. There's still plenty of seating, plenty of TVs, still the beer and wine, way to relax. Now, if you can't make it down there, but you still want a great stick, there is no worry there whatsoever. Just go to Stogie World, that's STOAGIEworld.com. Order your stick early enough in the day, we'll ship out the same day. All these great things happen at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And like I said, if you make your way down there, so let me know PLR sent you, they'll take 10% off. Like I said, I'm not, as they would say in Texas, I'm not toting this load by myself today. Hanging out with me as usual, my man, the one only, Ed Cole. What's up, sir?
What's happening, sir? Happy Friday to you, brother.
What's going on, man? I'm so glad it's Friday. But the week,
yeah, man.
So it don't really matter. Every day the same to me. They all end in Y. They're all busy. Don't matter.
All the days just run the same. They all run together, especially when you get our age.
Yeah.
Or your
especially
or your
when
age,
you got.
I should say.
Especially when you got kids.
Yeah.
Kids are the ones that run all your days together, because they all start the same. They all start the exact same. So.
And they end the same.
You know,
dad, can I?
Yeah. Freeloaders. Charlie,
yeah.
Bunch of freeloaders. Living in your house, eating your food. They're just freeloaders. But we love them, and they only have a cut so much. So what are we going to – what can we do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to kick this off. We're going to open up the phone lines, 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. Let's take a couple calls before we get to Steve, who's scheduled to call in a quarter after, and see what our callers have on their mind. PLR and the one and only Ed Cole. Caller, thanks for holding.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Sounds like Blue.
Good afternoon, buddy.
It is.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
All right, Paul. Ed? All right.
What's up, Blue?
All right.
Yes, sir.
So you're mentioning, here's the way I look at it. If a no-hitter is scheduled for nine, it's a no-hitter in nine. If it's scheduled for seven, then it should count as a no-hitter in seven innings. I know there's been a lot of controversy about that, but they say it's scheduled for seven innings. That's how it should count. but you want to put an asterisk in front of it or saying, oh, no, it's not legit. Come on. Hmm. I mean, you know, it's you know, in situations like this, you know, throw all your original rules out the window, okay? I mean, you know, we're dealing in different times now. Get the credit where it's due, like I've said.
Tom Gardner said it the best way. Did they get any hits off me? No. Well, then that sounds like a no-hitter to me. I mean, it's a
yep.
no-hitter.
That's
if,
right. Yeah.
If MLB
no
schedules a seven-inning game, yeah, if they schedule
it
a seven-inning game,
seven no-hitter.
It shouldn't even count as a seven-inning no-hitter. It's just no-hitter.
Right.
No-hitter, yeah.
It's a six-inning game. Yeah, it's no-hitter. If it takes 17
yep.
pitches.
Because remember, anything over 5.5 is considered official game. So how could this not be considered a no-hitter? Think about it. 5.5 is an official game.
Yep.
Last time I checked.
It is.
Thank you.
It is.
Because
I don't care how many pitches.
The Cubs got one last night.
I don't. I, look, it's not a secret, okay? This is not a secret.
No.
I am a diehard White Sox fan. Diehard. On our Instagram
yes.
this morning, we complimented the Cubs on a no-hitter because a no-hitter is a no-hitter. I don't care if they pulled up triple-A guys to close out the game. A no-hitter
right.
is a no-hitter. It didn't yes. say a no-hitter is ipso facto don't count. It doesn't say that. It's a no-hitter.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, because Paul and Lou, I'm looking at the Dodgers box score, I see hits. I see zeros all from the beginning to the end. That is a no-hitter to me.
You too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see the same thing, Lou? Yeah, okay. Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. Unless they're trying to tell me something different.
And what makes it funny is they'll describe each pitcher and say, well, he pitched two innings of no-hit baseball. Well, he came in and pitched an inning of no-hit baseball, and the last guy comes in and pitched an inning of no-hit baseball. So if they've all been described as pitching no-hit
mm-hmm.
baseball, doesn't that make
mm-hmm.
it a no-hitter?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2+2 came to 4.
And it's crazy. We almost had 2 last night if the Red Sox didn't just fall apart at the end.
Yeah,
the Red Sox.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I was about to say you can tell who he follows. It still would be a no-hitter. No-hitters or no-hitters.
Doesn't matter how many pitchers are involved in this thing. Like the Cubs had 4 last night. That they all pitched no-hit baseball. That is a no-hitter. The 17th they've had in their history.
Yep.
Yes. Well, this is the first
yep,
combined.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But
very interesting,
again,
Lou.
But then again, back then, you know, it wasn't common to have, you know, combined no-hitters. I mean, you had pitchers pitched all the way through, you know, in the old days. Now it's like, well, you know, the high pitch count, which through 7 days, I was thinking, I don't think it was too high, to be honest. I mean, it wasn't like it was over 100.
Lou, you broke up. Could you say that one more time?
Well, it's not like he had over 100 pitches thrown, so I don't think he was really, you know, that much over his over a pitch count.
Yeah, Davies, he threw 94 pitches in those 6
yeah.
innings. So he was 6 away from 100. I mean, Buehler threw 103 last night, so he was getting close to the 100.
I don't know if it was a high pitch count.
It's different now, everyone. We know it's different. Pitchers,
yeah.
we have to go back. And I forget who was on the show. We had a major leaguer on the show when we were talking about this. Here's the problem. There's 2 big problems with pitchers. And I'll try to do this quick before we have to jump to break. Two big problems. One, baseball players play baseball only now. They don't play other sports. All those athletes before used to play other sports. So they get a break. Secondly, they start pitching pitchers defining their roles at like the age of 10. So by the time they're 24, 25, their arms are done. So their arms are done.
Right.
Whereas before, instead of their arms being done at 24, their arms are done at 32. So they try to track the pitches so that way there's no issues. That's basically it. And that and I tried to make that quick because we got our guests coming up here in about 30 seconds. But that's basically it. They're wearing out these kids so young. That's basically it in a nutshell.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
but it's a shame to have them burn out at 24, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Malou, listen, have a great weekend. We hope to hear from you on Monday. Be safe. Stay cool.
Open.
All right, buddy.
We'll
see you then.
We'll see how I can do about that come Thursday. It's
going
to be hot here.
Yeah.
It's going to get hot here.
I hear you, my man.
Good day, fellas.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Lou.
That's just it. But listen, let's break so we can come back and get on with the one and only Steve Hunter. This is the Cave Show PLR. Sitting in with me, one and only Ed Cole. Back in 30.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR."
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Today, this Friday, the 25th of June, hanging out with the one, the only, Ed. Listen, we're live. Obviously, you're here with us. If you miss any part of the show, just go to the sportscave.com. That's cave with the K. Hit the listen live button. All of our shows will pop up. Find one that you like. Want to listen to it again, or maybe one that you missed, and definitely give us a check out. If you miss the shows and you can't get to that platform, there's no worries at all. We're on Spotify. We're on iHeartRadio. Just go to the Sports Cave. It's brought to you by Go to the Cave Show. It's brought to you by the sportscave.com. Say that 34,000 times in a hurry, basically. So,
easier
there we
said
are.
Than
we
done.
There. We're, I thought it would roll off easy. Just got a text from Steve. He should be dialing here in a second. And just to touch cool. on, finish up what we were saying before we went to break. It's a shame that they have these kids throwing their arms out so early.
I know it really stunts their career, does it not, Paul? When they're pitching all these innings and throwing all these pitches, and it just, I mean, it's a human thing. You throw that many pitches and your arm just wears out. These pitchers are not superhuman. Eventually, these ligaments and everything inside of an arm is going to break down eventually if you continue to throw with that kind of velocity, pitch after pitch after pitch, every fifth day. It's bound to happen because we're all human. We're all fallible. We're all subject to breaking down parts of our bodies.
Yeah, and pitching is an unnatural motion anyway.
Yeah.
So it's
especially throwing the ball as fast as they do, Paul. Goodness gracious.
Exactly. I heard someone say one time, a quarterback only has so many hits in their body. So after a certain time, they just don't want to be hit anymore. And we saw that with Eli Manning. Well, the same thing can be said about pitchers. Arm only has so many pitches. So if you start using them up at young ages, there's nothing left when they get older.
That's right.
So I don't get it, honestly. I think so many times parents live their Major League Baseball dreams, their NBA dreams, their NFL dreams vicariously through their kids, and they start them at a young age. I mean, I'm in kids' sports, and you know this, I've been coaching for a while, and sometimes I have to remind parents, the kids are 9. The kids are 8. The kids are 10. We do this, and sometimes we yell at the TV saying, come on, get the pick and roll, or see the pick and roll, or switch, or show, or something. And we're yelling at grown-ups, and parents expect their 10-year-olds to grasp it.
Yeah, it's so much unnecessary pressure on those kids, right? Paul, it's all about them going out there, having a good time, you know, running around. If it's baseball, if it's basketball, you run up and down the court, try to make some baskets, and just have a good time with your friends. And you shouldn't have all that pressure like, oh, my gosh, you know, we got to get him ready for the NBA now. No. He's a kid. Let him live his life and enjoy his childhood, because sooner or later he's going to get to our age, and we know how time flies so fast. Before we know it, they'll be in high school, college, married, and then they're like, man, did I really get to live my life? Did I really get to have any fun in life? Because life just moves so rapidly.
What? They get to get out and stop being freeloaders. With that said, it is to bring him on. Like, it is awesome when you bring in someone that knows basketball at the highest level, played basketball at the highest level for such a long time. He's from Chicago. So when we bring him on, we bring you out the correct way, the old school Chicago way, on our line, Cave Show with PLR, the one and only Steve Hunter. Steve,
hey,
I got to bring you in the
right
way.
Hey, I like it. I like the music. From North Carolina. Never forget that.
That's how we did it back in the day.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. How you feeling, man?
Man, it is. I'm good. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I was sorry for me calling in late. I was watching the verdict from the Derek Chauvin sentencing, and they gave him 22 and a half years, which I thought was kind of light, but, you know, at least it's something.
It's funny that you say that, and you're on with you got me, and you got Ed Cole online too, and it flashed across the phone, the screen, everything, and as sad as it sounds, I was joking with my pops about this, and I said, you know what, he'll do no more than 10 years when all is said and done, and I remember him saying, no, there's no way he'll get way more than it. I'm like, nah, when it's all said and done, he'll do 10, and this leads me to believe
Man,
that
I'm
no
hoping
more
not. I think the base is 15. I think that's what they said. Let's hope that is, because he's 45. He'll get out when he's 60. Right in time to cash in his pension and Social Security check.
And still, yeah. Steven, 15 years is nowhere. That's nowhere near enough of a punishment for what he did.
No, it's not. I want him to get 30 at least.
There's a cure for all this. It's called general population, but that's a whole other show. So,
oh yeah, Gen Pop will cure it all, won't it, Paul?
Oh man!
Yeah, as soon as them cats and Gen Pop get a whiff that he's in there with them, oh, it's lights out.
That's
I
it.
I hope it is.
That's it.
That's it.
We'll never get to come home.
So,
yep.
Steve,
if he can breathe for 9 minutes,
you know, it wouldn't take him that long in Gen Pop, but. Like I said, that's a whole different subject.
That's
so,
a whole different story. Yeah.
One of our dudes, when I say that, I say a Chicago dude, is giving Devin Booker fits, all kinds of fits with the way he plays. He's a professional irritant when he's on the court, and I have much love for him doing what he did to make the league. Even though I don't always agree with some of the tactics, I don't knock the hustle for him getting there. But I want you to listen to something, and I pulled this out from about 3 years ago, and I think this is something that if I were with the Suns, I would be playing this over and over for Devin, and I would say, yo, man, one of the best in the game said this when he was being harassed and bothered nonstop by Patrick Beverley.
When I get the ball in my spots, you know, I got to pest Patrick Beverley. who's up underneath me. Well, I could definitely shoot over top and score every time if it's a one-on-one situation. But we got a guy that's dropping and helping, and then we got another guy that's just sitting on me waiting for me to dribble the basketball. If I put the basketball on the floor, I could probably make 43% of my shots if I shoot them like that. But that's not really going to do nothing for us with the outcome of the game, you know, because we got a nice flow. Everybody touching the rock, everybody shooting and scoring. So I'm not going to get in the way of the game because, you know, I want to have a little back and forth with Patrick Beverly. I'm Kevin Durant.
Right.
You know who I am. I know who I am.
I think the same thing Devin should be saying. Look, I don't care about you. I'm Devin Booker. I can get what I want.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you irritate me. That's what I was thinking. What do you think about that?
I mean, you're exactly right. You know, Pat knows why he's still in the league and why he's out on the floor. And that's not to score the basketball. That's to irritate. That's to play defense. That's to bully. You know, that's the borderline, you know, foul you every time down the court. So Pat's just doing his job. You know, Devin's just, Kevin's right. And obviously when Kevin made those comments, he was a little bit more experienced than Devin. You know, he's been, you know, a few more playoff games than Devin and had a few more challenges. But Devin just needs to learn fast on the job. He needs to know if you want to get to an NBA championship, you're always going to run into a Patrick Beverly, some guy trying to take down the best player on your team. So, KD is right. You just gotta just stay the course, man. You know, don't make this between you and Patrick Beverly. You know, make this about the Phoenix Suns versus them, versus the Clippers. And I felt that last night the Phoenix Suns just played way too slow. And I think in a half court game, the Clippers are able to utilize their size. They're able to, you know, utilize Patrick Beverly and make it tough on the Suns. So they need to pick up the pace, and they need to find a way to play the way they played in games one and game two real fast.
Mm-hmm. And, Steven, it really went quarter by quarter last night. We saw how D-Book and CP3 struggled in the first quarter. They went 0-9. Then second quarter, the Suns outscored the Clippers by 10. And then whatever adjustments that Ty Lue and his staff and those players did in the locker room, those adjustments, they came out on fire, and they just shut down the Suns in the second half, outscoring them by 16. So in a microcosm, what did you see from the first half to the second half? What did you see as the determining factor? Was it the Clippers' defense? Was it, as you mentioned, the Suns' lack of pace? Their sloppy play in the third quarter was one of the main things that stuck out to me, that they just weren't the same old Suns that we were used
right.
to seeing.
Right. I think it was a number of things. I think, you know, the addition of CP after 2 weeks out, you know, I'm not even sure how much he was able to even practice or be around the team. It took some adjustments for them to get used to and shake the rust off. I also felt like, you know, guys were just sluggish, you know, and I know we're still a young team. We don't play like a young team, but we are. And I just felt like we were due for kind of a letdown. You know, we got all these Suns and Fords T-shirts and things like that. And maybe some of the guys start to believe they can just show up and win. But you're playing against seasoned veterans over there on the Clippers. They're not as young. They got, you know, Paul George, Patrick Beverly. They got Morris, guys who have been in the league for a long time. So they're going to compete. And so I think that's what we ran into last night, just a hungry Clipper team. They wanted it more, and it showed.
On the line,
of course,
Steven,
sorry, Paul.
On the line with us today on the Cave Show, PLR, the one and only Steve Hunter. Go ahead, Ed.
And it was just the way that the Clippers' playoffs have trended. We saw them go down 0-2 against Dallas. They came back and won. They went down 0-2 against Utah and came back and won. It's just it takes them a little bit of time to get revved up in each series, Steven. But once they get revved up like they did last night, that's a formidable opponent. When PG's got 27-15-8, almost a triple-double, and Zubac has got 15 and 16 rebounds off the board, and then Reggie Jackson is hitting threes. He went 3-of-8. He hit a big three in the second half last night, and nobody was covering him, and DeAndre Ayton didn't rotate over until the last second. I'm just like, why is nobody covering Reggie Jackson? We know he's going to shoot a three right there. So their rotation, and as you mentioned, they were sluggish and sloppy. It was just a disappointing game last night. But I expected this to come from the Clippers last night because, as you mentioned, they're a resilient basketball team, and you knew they were going to get back in the series at some point.
Yeah, man, definitely. And, you know, like you said, and let's go back to Reggie Jackson. You know, where was he in Detroit? Where was Blake Griffin in Detroit? It's like guys don't want to play for Detroit. they leave there. Yeah, man, and they become players. Like, seriously, where, like, Reggie Jackson, he was a straight-up bust in Detroit, and now he's going to get paid off of this playoff series, this whole playoff. So it's crazy, man. But no, man, you know what? Again, the Suns, they are a team that plays by committee. We don't have that one guy, even though we do in Devin Booker, but we don't solely utilize him as a Brooklyn would use Kevin Durant as the offense runs through Kevin Durant. Well, we don't necessarily run through Booker. We play as a committee. And so if we're going to do that, we have to be able to play with pace, first and foremost, move the ball, play fast, get stops, and get buckets in transition. I thought last night's game was just a half-court grinded-out type of game. Patrick Beverley really, you know, got in Booker's space and forced him to take a lot of bad shots. That's the reason why he shot so bad yesterday. Thought Chris Paul had to fight off a lot of rust. So it was just a tough game for the Suns, and I thought they had just the wrong approach. You know, we're the type of team, we need every game to be a desperation game seven type effort. And I think the guys got a little happy. I think they got a little complacent knowing that CP's coming back. Thought that we can just walk in there and win and believe in that Suns and four stuff. But it doesn't work like that. I think if we beat the Clippers, we're really going to have to earn it. So I think this next game is a really, really pivotal game, and it's going to decide which how the momentum shifts in this series. If the Suns go up 3-1, I can see us closing it out back home in game five. But if we lose, then we got a series, and we could possibly be going game seven.
Steve, I want to piggyback off something that you said. The difference, I think, between the two series is the Lakers were a wounded team. When it was time for them to really step up, they were wounded, and some of the rest of their parts weren't that good. With Denver, their backcourt, honestly, Portland should have eliminated them, because there's no way Campazzo and whoever else is playing in the backcourt should have eliminated Portland. So now
yeah,
you get
Austin
to a
Rivers,
team
right?
that has resolve and has this stuff. And I think Monty said it best last night. Suns didn't play with the same urgency. The Clippers played game seven as their game three. I don't think – I
did.
Agree with you. I think that they got – the Suns got the wake-up call. But in this game coming up, there's so many keys. There's so many points. We know who's going to play well. But if you had to pick a wild card for the Suns, who would you say would be the person that's going to maybe surprise us or be that wild card person in game four?
Well, that person, I would say, has to be Cameron Payne. I hope that ankle heals up. But every game for the Suns throughout the playoffs, it seems like he's been a common denominator on being our spark plug, that guy off the bench that no one expects comes off and gives us 14, 16, 20 points. He's having a great series so far, stepped up huge when CP was out. We need that same type of effort from him. Hopefully that ankle heals up. Because without him, we don't have much firepower in scoring, per se, off the bench. So we need Cameron Payne. So I would say Cameron Payne is that wild card guy.
On the line with us, John, the Cave Show with PLR, sitting in with the one and only Ed Cole. We got Steve Hunter, NBA vet, many years. So we've got someone who did this at the highest level for a long time. Steven, looking at that other series, I'm tired of people making it seem like it's what the Knicks didn't do, that's why they lost. It's what Philly didn't do, that's why they lost. And now it's what Milwaukee didn't do, that's why they lost. I think it's
right.
Time that people start looking at Atlanta for what they are. They have four snipers.
Yep.
They spread the court.
They do.
You got a rim runner in Clint Capella, and you got a knockdown shooter or an inside player in John Collins. That's a recipe for disaster for a bunch of teams. I think people need to start saying more, hey, look at the Hawks, not look at these other teams.
Yeah, man, the Hawks caused a matchup disaster out on the court. Capella's always been a great rim runner, so it makes it hard to keep up with his pace. I think this definitely isn't a series for Brook Lopez. They need to sit him down immediately and play small. But having Gallinari out there with experience, he's playing lights out right now. The other kid, the two kids, I can't think of their name right now.
Kevin Herter and
Kevin
Herter is one of those. Yeah.
Terrapin.
Yes. Kevin Herter, he's shooting lights out. And then Trae Young, he's playing like Steph Curry. Like Atlanta literally looks like Golden State Warriors a couple years ago. They literally look like that right now. They're getting just enough stops to have their offense take over the game for them. And they have offense. They got offense all over the court. They're in every game. I think they've probably only been blown out maybe once this series. And that was game two in Philly. But every game, every game they're in. And they're in it because of their shooting. You know, they're in it because of their energy. And so they're a dangerous team, and they're hot right now. Like, they are really, really hot right now. So you're playing against a team that's starting to believe. They got a lot of confidence about themselves, and they're winning. They can't see themselves losing. So Milwaukee got a fight on their hands.
Paul, you mentioned yesterday about Coach Budenholzer not being the biggest man as far as adjustments having to be made, but I think some adjustments are definitely going to have to be made after Trey lit them up for 48 two nights ago. Stephen, what do you think the Bucks have to do defensively to try to slow down? You're not going to stop Trae Young, but what can you do to affect him to the point where he doesn't go out and get a 50 spot on you again tonight?
Well, they definitely got to do something different with the pick and roll situation. They're putting Brook Lopez in those pick and rolls. Brook is trying to meet the guy at the free throw line, and meanwhile, Trae Young shooting half court three pointers. So they're going to have to get up and trap that pick and roll and try to get the ball out of Trey's hands. Secondly, they're the bigger, more physical team. They need to get up and impose their physical skills on Atlanta, because right now Atlanta's just doing whatever they want on offense. Nobody's bumping cutters. They're just playing a finesse game with Atlanta, and that's something you can't do. Again, I said that Atlanta reminds me of a Golden State Warriors team. Not as good, but I'll say a poor man's Golden State Warriors team, where they got four shooters on the floor and one rim runner. You know, so they're tough to guard because they spread you out. And so you're going to have to be physical with them. Giannis is going to have to be dominant. And Middleton, he can't have those inconsistencies like he's used to having. They're going to need, you know, a better Chris Middleton. So each level, it gets harder. You know, each level, I've been to the conference finals two times. Each level gets harder. You know, defenses pick up. You know, guys start to step up. They start to believe in themselves at this point of the playoffs. And, you know, Milwaukee, if they have any doubt in themselves, it will be exposed. And we can see Atlanta going to the finals.
Steve, I'm going to get you out of here on a couple of things. One, Ed was kind, and he said what I said about Budenholzer. What I said was he can't make adjustments out of a paper bag. That was my real word.
Everybody,
I said that dude.
You did say that, Paul.
Yeah, I said that dude can make adjustments in a regular season, but come playoff times, he uses that infamous "this is what we do, we'll do it harder," and that crap doesn't work.
That's right.
You've got to make real adjustments. So Ed cleaned it up. But, you know, I'm from the west side of Chicago. I ain't got time for cleaning up. I just got to give it to you away. I said it. So that's exactly what I said. But Jason Kidd got hired by the Mavericks. And we see a trend of younger guys that played in the league where the players now can get on their level, not just the old age. You know, the old days, it was – the Rileys, the Jacksons, the old guys that knew basketball, they were almost like a professor. Now we're seeing, you know, Monty and Jason Kidd come back and Nate McMillan. We're seeing even Steve Nash. We're seeing guys that are more relatable to players. Do you see this continuing to be the trend in the league when it comes to hiring coaches?
Absolutely, I do. You see Chauncey Billups is in the running. as well as some other young coaches. I just think that, and then also you also look at the hiring of James Jones for the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah,
how young of a GM he is,
mm-hmm.
and yep. so you know, owners are really really starting to recognize that the game is changing. You know, the world is changing, and so you know they have to keep up with the times. And I just think a new perspective, a new way of playing is necessary. And I'm not sure if Budenholzer has that ability. You're right.
Yeah.
He hasn't made in-game adjustments at all. And, you know, one guy who has is Tyronn Lue. You know, Tyronn Lue,
yeah.
I think, is probably the best the best coach in the league because he's great at making in-game adjustments.
Yes.
But yes, if Milwaukee loses this series, better yet, if they don't win a championship, I do think this would be the last year for Budenholzer.
Yeah, man, like I said, that cat, man, him and
mm-hmm.
his
yeah.
non-adjustments. But listen, I know you got to get out of here,
yeah.
but you run an incredible basketball camp, and I'll be 100% honest with you. I mirrored a lot of stuff that you did in watching you from inside out because I really admired the way you did things when I was starting my own thing. So I appreciate that. And this is something you probably didn't know, but I really mirrored a lot of what you did, the way you talked to the kids, the way you treated the kids,
good.
The way you empowered the
good.
People around you. And so
you.
I stole that from you. to be
thank
honest,
you.
I stole
thank
that from you.
But Hey, Paul, you got to keep passing it down because I stole it from somebody too. So keep on passing.
Okay.
Thank you.
But
hey,
but
they say it's a copycat
hey,
league, right? Even at the lowest level.
But yeah, hey, please tell everyone about your camp and your skills so they can know.
So I run the Steve Hunter Life Skills and Basketball Academy. We run four camps a year, summer, fall, winter. Also, we have club basketball. So we fit all your needs with Hunter's Elite Club Basketball. We're one of the fastest growing organizations in the state of Arizona. We go from third grade all the way up to high school, any level in high school. So if you have any needs of a club or want to be taught the game the right way, you know, you can go to my website, shbatraining.com, look at what we have to offer, and you can contact myself personally, okay? But, yeah, man, it's great stuff. I really enjoy doing it. I train all of my coaches. I actually coach a couple teams as well, and it's just my life's work, man. I'm blessed to be able to go out there and pass down things that I've learned throughout the years, throughout all my coaches and the folks that mentored me. I get to pass it down to my coaches and my kids as well. So very, very excited about that. So Hunter's Elite and Steve Hunter Basketball Academy, you can look it up online, YouTube, Google, and get in touch with us. We can service all your basketball needs.
Cool, man. And listen, I appreciate that scrimmage the other day too. It got my kids' eyes open, so I really appreciated that.
Yeah, no doubt. So I got my fifth grade team. We got tryouts this week. I would like to run that back with my fifth grade team. I was playing against all my sixth graders, but let's go fifth grade versus fifth grade next time.
All right. And I got a message from PLR Jr. He said he was ready for the sixth graders. He has no fear because the only thing he's supposed to be afraid of is God and his dad. So he didn't care who he
right.
played, he said.
That's right.
Ooh, all right.
Hey,
now.
He's so big. He's so tall. I think he was taller than all my kids. He's so big. He's tall now, man. He can play. Like, I can look at him and tell Paul, like, he's going to be a player. Like, seriously, his body is starting to fill out.
Yeah, he takes it seriously, Steve. Like, he puts the work in.
Mm-hmm.
Him and I have those dad-son coach-player battles. But when he gets on the court, It's a different he's a different dude now.
Mm-hmm. I can tell. I see it. I definitely see it. So looking forward
yep.
to scrimmaging with you guys again and playing against you guys down in the future and anything I can do to help your organization, you know I will.
I got you, man. I always appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on. I got a couple of videos I'm gonna shoot you your way too, so you can check it out.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Steve. We'll talk soon. Maybe I'll see you Monday night.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you, bro.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, now. All right, that's the one, the only Steve Hunter. Ed, I'm not going to even lie to you. The sixth graders played my Loving You, which is fifth and sixth grade, and the first couple quarters got away. But the third quarter, they hung tough. So we got a little something in there. We got a little go nice basketball.
That's good.
We got a little something. We may
good.
Be new.
Keep building on it.
Yeah, we ain't scared. What's the song? I ain't never scared. We ain't never scared. Don't make no difference
right.
to us. Don't make no difference to us. Listen, let's step away. Let's come back. Talk a little bit more hoops. Talk a little bit more baseball. And then we'll close it out. Send you on your weekend with the prediction of the game tonight. It's Cave Show with PLR. My man, the one and only Ed Cole, back in 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Hanging out with me today is the one and only Ed Cole. Make sure you're checking us out on your social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter. Cave is with the K. We're on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook. You also can find us online at thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is with the K. And peep me out on my Twitter as well at PLR on Sports. And listen, I want to play just a couple quick things, and I'm going to tell you why I think the Suns are going to win this game. First, I want to play you what Monty said, and it was a lot of stuff that we touched on, Steve touched on, just his summation of the Game 3 loss.
Look, it was a typical playoff desperation by them. We didn't play with the desperation necessary to win a game like that consistently, and that's how I would sum it up. Offensively tonight, we weren't sound at all. You look at the point totals in the first, third, and fourth. You know, they played good defense tonight, but we didn't run our offense the way that we have been running it for most of these playoffs. But they played with a great deal of desperation, 50-50 balls, attacking the offensive glass, attacking the rim. They played hard in every segment of the game. We didn't play as hard consistently. And so you have to tip your hat to them. They brought it tonight for more of the 48 minutes than we did.
Hey, plain and simple, like I said before, the Clippers played Game 7. If you play Game 7, you're going to win. The other team plays like it's Game 3. They're not.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely see just that sense of desperation that you and Monty alluded to. It's just, yeah, they wanted it more last night. And again, once they made those even more adjustments after they got outscored by 10 in that second quarter, Ty Lue and they went in that locker room and said, okay, we got to flip the switch on this thing, because if we lose this thing, we're down 3-0. Nobody's ever come back from that deficit, so we got to win tonight. So They pulled out all stops, especially on that defensive end, as I mentioned in that second half, and the Clippers just got a game that they needed to have. They could not afford to go down 3-0, because there's no coming back if you're down 0-3. Nobody's ever done it.
I don't know if you remember, but I hopped on Inside Sports with you and Joanna, and I said it's going to come down to something simple. We can break this down. We can talk shooting percentages. We could talk free throw percentage. We could talk all this. It's basically
right.
going to come down to who makes shots and who misses shots. And there are two things that happened in this game, momentum changers on made shots, that I thought changed the complexion of the game. Suns getting back into the game, and then Paul George hits a dunk to end the quarter. So now they're going in riled up, as opposed to the Suns going in feeling good that they ended a quarter the right way. The second time, Paul George sees a shot just inside the half-court line. And I remember distinctly what I was saying when he threw the ball into him. I said, don't let him just shoot that. He can hit that. Contest it. And they didn't. They just kind of let him shoot it, figuring it's a half-court shot. So now you worked hard to cut the lead to six. They scored, made it eight. So instead of you now going into the next quarter feeling good about cutting it to eight, they now feel good because now not only have they scored the last 5 points, but they hit a dramatic half-court shot. I think, honestly, at that point, the game was decided then.
It was. And the Clippers, they went on that 21-3 run in the second half. I was just kind of like, oh, my gosh, here we go. And then, you know, the Clippers are up 18. They're up double digits, 15, 18 points. And then I like the fact that the Suns didn't give up, though. They would come back with a 7-0 run of their own, and they would never give up, and they would get back on defense. Their transition defense was good. But still, you're right, Paul. It comes down to making shots and defending. And you can't shoot 30% from three-point range. And I do not foresee D-Book and CP3 shooting 10 for 40 again on Saturday night. And I know D-Book is dealing with a different situation with his broken nose and how they basically had to do like a fast healing process where they had to re-break the nose and reset it and then give him 8 shots, and then he had to come out and put a mask on, something he's not used to doing, Paul. It was a different situation. It was a different feel for D-Book last night with everything he had to go on physically with him, and then you had to throw Pat Bev and the defense that he played on top of that. So it just made for a really tough night for D-Book last night in his 40 minutes of action. But, again, I don't see him and C-Paul coming back and CP coming back and shooting as poorly as they did last night on Saturday.
Booker talked about his nose, and he answered the question in 8 seconds. Did the mask bother you?
Not at all, honestly. The nose feels fine. So, you know, we lost the game.
No excuses. Danny talked about Pat Bev.
Yeah, no excuses.
Summed this up in 18 seconds.
He's ultra-aggressive. He's denying, limiting touches. He has one objective out there, and we understand that. So, I feel like other things should open up, and, we have to look at the film and see what's open and see what we can get.
And that's exactly what Steve Hunter said. He's out there for one reason, to make the game an ugly game. Those things. And the Suns, for the first time, allowed him to make the game an ugly game. Even when he headbutted Devin Booker, which I thought should have been a flagrant foul, when he headbutted Devin Booker, the Suns didn't allow him to make it an ugly game. Yesterday, he was back in his building. The crowd is cheering. Everyone is doing their home team. I think the next game, everyone is talking about, what happened. Paul George is one of my favorite players. But blowing kisses to the stands, they treated that like it was a closeout game and they were closing it out. You're still down 2-1. So all the things that riled up the Clippers with Suns and four, where the Clippers are saying, hey, we get paid too. They're not going to come in our building and punk us. I think it's now just the opposite. Oh, so they want to blow kisses? They're still down 2-1. But they're blowing kisses, and they want to get all in our face. Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And you know how it goes.
Yeah.
You got to suck a couple of teeth when you said, mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Okay, mm-hmm. I got you. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of that will actually work the other way.
Yes. Bro, when I saw PG do that, when he's blowing kisses, and I'm just like, I was like you, Paul. I'm like, PG, do you realize you're still down 2-0? Do you realize you haven't won this game yet and you're blowing kisses to the crowd? Come on, bro. You can't do that.
Now
that is locker room fodder for the Phoenix, for the Suns. The Suns are they're replaying that clip over and over. Oh, PG thinks it's okay. It's like that, huh? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
So they got that in their minds, brother. They do.
Exactly. But it should be an interesting game. I don't think the Suns are going to – I don't think any team at this point will run away with the game. I think the only chance a game has an opportunity to be a runaway is if the Suns win game 4, come back home for game 5, and get an early lead. I can see that getting away. But otherwise, I don't see that. But I want to flip over and talk about this other series and Mr. I Don't Make Adjustments. Ed, if the Milwaukee Bucks don't win this game tonight, and listen to the way I'm saying this, I don't mean escape by 1 or 2 points. Because if they escape a close game going back to Atlanta, Atlanta's going to have even more confidence because right now they're saying, we did what we were supposed to do. We came up here and took one. Now we just want to be greedy and take another one. If they only win by 2, 3 points, 1, 2 points, Atlanta's going to be like, huh, we got them in a close one. They barely got us, and now they're coming to our building. We don't fear them. Milwaukee has to blow Atlanta out to put doubt in Atlanta's mind. That's my thought process.
I agree, because if Milwaukee wins a close one tonight, then Atlanta will say, they'll think two things. They'll think, okay, we got the split, and, oh, so you did not blow us out in game two. We still had a chance to win game two. We could have went up 2-0 if we happened to lose by a close margin, if it's, you know, 5 or 6, 6 to 8 points. Okay, we accomplished what we needed to do. It would have been great to go home 2-0, but we went home 1-1. We got game one. We feel good about ourselves in game two if we happen to lose by a close margin. I agree, Paul. If Milwaukee's going to put something in Atlanta's heads, they have got to blow them out of the daggone water tonight. And if they don't, Atlanta's still going to be a confident young basketball team getting on that bird back to ATL, because they know once they get to State Farm Arena, that's a crazy scene down there. And man, that's something.
It truly is. And the more I look at this series, and like I said, and I think I was saying this before, we keep talking about what other teams are doing as opposed to what Atlanta is doing. It is hard to stop those four snipers. It's hard because they're spreading the floor.
Yeah.
And Budenholzer, here's the thing. He's going to make an adjustment tonight because he's going to be forced to make an adjustment. You know what I mean? People have talked so much, they don't have a choice. So they have to.
And that's hard to do against Trey because – I mean, he can hit it from far. He can hit that mid-range shot. He can hit those little teardrop shots he does when he runs in the lane and he just tosses those things up. It's like, good luck trying to stop him. But, man, Trey is just – he is an unbelievable talent. And as you mentioned, they got to throw everything but in the kitchen sink and constantly make adjustments on the fly. I don't care if they have to do constant switching to cover Trey, as hard as that's going to be, but you cannot allow Trey to just have open shots and just drive the lane and do whatever he wants to do, because if he does, he's going to get 48, 50 or more tonight.
I'm looking forward to this. This should be a good game, entertaining
yes.
game, either way. Who you
rocking
with tonight? See, like mine. Who you got tonight?
You know what, man? I think Atlanta's winning tonight. I think they're going home 2-0. I really do.
Okay, so this is where you do that preface thing. It wouldn't surprise me if they did, but I actually think Milwaukee blows them out tonight. I really do.
You think they're going to blow them out, really?
I do. And I think they're going to blow them out because they have to blow them out. You know what I mean? I'm not saying – And I know that sounds crazy, but they have to, for their mental state, blow them out. I don't think Chris Middleton will shoot as bad. Let's hope that Drew Holiday shoots the same. You know what you're going to get from Giannis. And maybe if they put in Bobby Portis is a player. So I'm going to go with Milwaukee in a blowout. If we were betting, which, you know, if you want to, take the 7.5 points. I didn't even play the music.
Play the music.
So, but listen, before we close out on this, I do want to bring up one other thing as time is starting to get us. Jason Kidd, we didn't really get your thoughts. Do you think it's a good hire for the Mavs?
I think so, and I agree with what Steven said about. And what you mentioned, that it's trending toward these former players, these younger coaches having the success like like a Monty Williams, like a Ty Lue, and others, like a Nate McMillan, because they're able to relate even more to these players because they're just, I mean, they're recently coming off playing in the league. I mean, recent being, I don't know how long Jay Kidd's been out of the game, but it's been a whole lot recent compared to a lot of other players or a lot of the other players like a Rick Carlisle who played in the league. But I think Jay Kidd is going to be a good hire. And evidently, I would assume that Luka signed off on it. And I know they brought in Dirk Nowitzki to come in as a special advisor to kind of help out Mark Cuban in this whole process. So I think Jay Kidd's going to come in there as long as he and Luka can have a good working relationship, because we know Luka is the star he's the star of the show. If it's not the owner of the basketball team, then we know Luka is the man that kind of runs that ship there. And as long as he and Jay Kidd can have a good relationship that he and Rick Carlisle did not have, from all reports, then I think things could work really well in Dallas. What do you think, brother?
I think we'll see. I like Jay Kidd. I like his knowledge. I like his knowledge of the game. I think it doesn't matter who the coach is in terms of this. Obviously, it always matters who the coach is. But in terms of this, if they don't find guys to put around him, it's really not going to matter much anyway, because the guys they have around him aren't conducive for what's needed. And I'm not saying you have to necessarily go out and trade half your roster to do it, because I don't think they have enough assets to do that anyway. Because if you start giving up the Hardaway Juniors and the Porzingises and those guys, and you only bring one guy back, now you're probably in a worse position than you were before. So I almost think Dallas has to almost organically luck into a draft pick that they can develop. See, everyone says number two, number two, number two. And they always bring up, look at what the Lakers, you know, they had a number two, or they had a two, a 1A and a 1B, and Shaq and Kobe. The Bulls had Michael and Scottie. The Bulls drafted Scottie. That was done organically. When the Lakers got Shaq, Kobe, that was done organically. So I just think sometimes we rush out to say move. Sometimes it can be done organically, as it was in Golden State, done organically.
Yes.
Luka's only 21, 22. There's time. Now, I know in real life there's no time anymore, but in basketball life, hell, he shouldn't even hit his prime for another 6 years. So it just depends on the way they want to go. And we saw what Jason Kidd did with developing, because Giannis wasn't a top two draft pick, and he developed him. So maybe it could be done organically. But listen, brother, this hour flew. Tell everyone where they can check you out.
Yes, sir. Of course, right here on the Sports Cave on Inside Sports Talk with our sister, Joanna Rosa Lee, who is a mega superstar. Now, she was texting you and I about the picture. She was at an event last night watching the game, and she got on AZ Central. So our girl's rising up, dude. I mean, she's just taking us. I mean, she's just flying away from us. I don't know what we're going to do now that she's got her pictures, photography. She's got photography, and I'm just trying to hang with her. I mean, what are we going to do, Paul?
I didn't know we were French. I thought she was trying to catch up with us. But if you want to, I didn't recognize nobody in that picture. Let me just say it like that. And that's exactly what I'm going to say when the show is over. I didn't recognize nobody. Listen,
on Twitter, give me at Ed Cole. On Twitter, Ed Cole 43, Instagram at Edward Cole 301, and Facebook, Edward Cole.
And then, of course, check us out, the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook, at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. Website is thesportscave.com. Cave is with the K. Get me on Twitter at PLR on Sports. Thanks to, we only was able to squeeze in one call, but thanks for the caller. Thanks for Stephen Hunter checking in with us. Great dude, great program. Make sure you're checking it out. Thanks to you, Ed, for hanging with me on this Friday. Everyone, have a great weekend. It's a basketball weekend. Enjoy it. Root for your favorite team. It should be the Suns. And we'll come check you out Monday with more news to spread around. Until then, this has been the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Tips, bring us home.